This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're back on the Pulse with Ali Johan and Othniel Ting. And early on, we played Vanta Black by the band Lust. We just heard from Fariz and Asfar from that band. They just did a whole nice little week long of audio visual exploration called Club Vanta Black. That's really, really cool.
Excellent stuff.
Yeah, and tonight we're looking at actually music streaming apps and how many of us actually use them versus the people who are still relying solely on radio and also physical formats. So it's got to be said that the streaming music has sort of spoiled many of us. The convenience of having the app on your phone and just having access to millions of music genre styles across eras even. It just outweighs having to go out to get a physical copy, right?
Yeah, I think spoiled is the right word here because, I mean, before streaming platforms, I used to sit down and listen to every single track. But now with streaming platforms, I realize it's just so easy to just hit the skip button.
Yeah.
Yeah, but many of us have at least one app on our phones, right? But despite that, we still like to know which music app you are using. So there's still that poll running over at our IG stories. Do join in and tell us which music streaming apps that you use, because some use a particular streaming app more than others, right?
Yeah. So like myself, I use two. I have Spotify and Apple Music, and for me, it serves different purposes. Spotify more for songs and Apple Music more for longer interviews, playlists even, that I don't really trust on Spotify, so it's weird.
I'm a bit on the extreme end because I use 5 in total, I realize. Spotify, Apple, well, SoundCloud and Bandcamp, kinda.
Yep.
And YouTube Music as well. But anyway, do let us know which streaming app you use. It would be good to know why as well. So we put up that poll earlier in the day and we have some results. Now, the most common answer for everybody is actually 2.
Nice.
On average, everybody uses about 2 music streaming platforms. Got a couple of messages from you guys as well, mostly saying that they use Spotify. But Ng Y Hans also mentioned that Apple Music seems underrated, I guess.
Yeah, so it seems like these two are the main players here, right? Spotify and Apple Music. And of course, Apple Music is there already for iPhone users. We have here a list of the main streaming apps here. We're going to go through some of the most obvious pros and cons of these things. And also, actually, to help those of you who still haven't adopted any of these apps or also still thinking about switching over, maybe. So a bit of a primer for our listeners and even for ourselves, because there are some things on the list here that I have never used ever.
Same.
Yep. So at the top of it all, like many of you have responded in the poll, is Spotify.
Of course. No surprises there.
Yeah. It's most popular because it has that free tier, right? You can just download it to your phone and you can start using listening to songs instantly. Most of us already know this as well. If you're using the free version, you got to put up with the ads because nothing in life comes for free. You can upgrade it to a premium for about 15 ringgit a month and then no ads. Straight up streams, multiple song skips, and also across the app, you can go into different parts of listening to different things. The thing about Spotify, and a lot of people have said this, is it boasts the biggest collection of music and other audio, like podcasts, for example. And also, it's easy, like we mentioned, easy to use, works well across many devices. The app's always ready to pair with iOS, Android, and also on browsers like Chrome, Safari, or anything that you prefer.
I remember asking this exact question, which music streaming platform do you use, to Frida Liu of Enterprise fame. And she told me that she's still using the free version of Spotify because she doesn't want to pay any ads at all. And I thought that was pretty surprising because I thought everybody would hate the ads.
Yeah.
Turns out not. But anyway, moving on to the next music streaming platform is, of course, Apple Music, the closest contender to Spotify's all-conquering ways. And of course, it works best with iPhones, but it can also work on Android. Like Spotify, it also boasts a huge music directory, you know, 70 million songs. It has live radio, something that I personally enjoy. I know you enjoy it as well because they managed to get big names, you know, like Zane Lowe, Matt Wilkinson, and they really curate their playlists. Spotify versus Apple is the classic battle between AI and actual humans doing the work, which is what we've mentioned previously on the Pulse before, where Spotify uses algorithms to pick songs for you, while Apple Music uses actual humans to curate the music.
That's Apple Music. Also, a big chunk of our poll participants tonight are on Apple Music. Next on the list is Tidal. This app presents itself in a slightly different way because a lot of other music apps are more about providing the users with a huge record collection, you know, 70 million songs on Apple Music and almost around the same number on Spotify. You know, it has easy access on mobile devices and all of that. But Tidal, in fact, they strive on giving their users the best audio quality. So they have a more high fidelity sound experience, especially when you use headphones on. And just as a simple comparison, I think Spotify and Apple Music use MP3 format for its songs. So yep. Something that's easy enough for a mobile phone to carry. But Tidal gives a higher resolution to the music, a lossless FLAC format. So a bit more heavy for mobile devices, but definitely higher resolution in audio experience lah. So, you know, if you're on that 16 gigabyte phone, maybe Tidal might take up space a little bit on your phone. But otherwise, these are really for people who value sound quality, audio files, right? The other thing about Tidal that it sometimes has notable exclusive content, like, for example, albums like Jay-Z's 444 and Kanye West's Life of Pablo. They were two albums that were first launched on Tidal. And I think they're looking to have exclusive launches, more of these in the future. There's also music videos and other behind-the-scenes content too on Tidal. Mm-mm. So that's that.
Yep, the Tidal that was once famously owned by Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Not anymore. On to the next one, YouTube Music, my personal favorite, honestly. I remember when this was first rolled out in Malaysia, I was so excited for this. It's definitely the underdog in the list. It's very useful if you're, say, at your laptop most of the time, although it does have a mobile app as well. Now, YouTube Music boasts 60 million songs in their directory, which is not too bad. And if you're always on YouTube, you know, they do pretty well in the suggested video site. I'm not quite sure what's their algorithm, but they are single-handedly responsible for a lot of new trends like city pop, slowed and reverb cultures and all that. But even better, if you sign up for YouTube Premium, you get YouTube Music for free, which is why I think most of the users that have responded to our poll says that they have two, because yeah, speaking to some people around the office, I also realized that they have YouTube Music because of YouTube Premium.
That's right. And the no ads thing adds on, it helps a lot. It goes a long way, right?
Yeah.
Some people have said I have a friend who said he misses the ads after signing on to YouTube Premium.
Wow, I'm not quite sure about that.
Not having videos or listening to music with ad breaks is a thing of the past for him, and he misses it. That's insane.
But I gotta say though, for YouTube, one of the main reasons why I enjoy YouTube so much is because you know, we've been mentioning, it's almost like a fight between streaming platforms to say, oh, I have 70 million, I have 60 million. But for YouTube, it's a bit different mainly because they have the advantage of having YouTube, not YouTube Music, but YouTube, which is where a lot of people upload music as well. And more often than not, it's music that's not available on other streaming platforms.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of those, actually. Just to name a few, you know, the late R&B star Aaliyah, her 1996 album One in a Million is not available on all streaming platforms except for YouTube. And another one is, of course, Frank Ocean's Nostalgia Ultra, his debut mixtape from 2011 that put him on the map.
Yeah, and I think a lot of hardcore punk things that I listen to as well are not on Spotify. I don't see them getting on Spotify even at any point because, again, these are, you know, little-known bands from places like, I don't know, smaller scenes, for lack of a better word. And they're not on Spotify, they're not on Apple Music, but they are on YouTube.
Hmm.
So yeah, there are other players out there for streaming websites. I'm sure many of us know this, but you know, apps like SoundCloud and Bandcamp are two apps that are more useful for, I guess,
Indie musicians, up and coming,
bedroom producers. And also these two platforms allow you to connect directly to the musicians, right? The bands, they themselves upload their music onto SoundCloud and Bandcamp. So you can just hit them a direct message. You can talk to them. There are other things like Amazon Music, less popular, quite a big directory also, but you can also ask Alexa to help you pick music on Amazon. And then there's players that are more Asian focus, like Joox, for example, is the biggest streaming app in Asia. It's got the most comprehensive K-pop library in the digital world. Also, live streams of some of the biggest K-pop acts. Joox is quite popular with K-pop fans in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore, Indonesia especially. But, you know, nothing much beyond that, I suppose. There's also KKBOX, over 50 million Chinese, Japanese, English and Korean songs. Also big in Taiwan and Singapore. I think this one also focuses on a lot of Asian pop. And QQ Music, also out of China, owned by Tencent. Pandora, which had its boom, but completely died down, I think, at this point. I don't know who uses Pandora. But if you do, please write into us. Because
yeah, we want to know.
We'd like to know what your experience is like. And Deezer is the other one, which made quite a ripple when it started out about 10 years ago. But, you know, never knew. I never really knew why this platform did not become more popular. It's, you know, same thing as Spotify and Apple. It has that free tier. It doesn't have ads. Cutting through the middle of anything you're listening to. Got about 60 million songs too, but it's probably not very well marketed. And those are some of the streaming apps apart from Spotify and Apple Music and Tidal that you can try out. You know, we haven't tried out everything on the list, but we are on most of them. And I guess I can say I can be loyal to this too, Spotify and Apple Music, simply because I use an iPhone. I already have Apple Music. But Spotify gives me that whole going into the rabbit hole and discovering things I would never imagine I would discover type thing. Similar to how I would spend hours on YouTube watching videos. It starts off with a drum cam video and then it ends up on some surfboard making carpentry type thing. So similar thing with music on Spotify.
Yeah, my main go-to streaming platform, that's Spotify as well. But my personal favorite is actually YouTube Music, because there's also that geographical issue where you can't access certain songs, like Japanese songs or city pop songs. You have to be in Japan and use Spotify, your Spotify account in Japan, to be able to access those songs. But all those can be bypassed with YouTube Music. That's why that's my favorite.
Yeah, YouTube is more limitless.
Yeah.
Right, so join us in on the poll that we put up on our Instagram. It's at IG Stories. We're asking you how many music streaming apps you use. Most of us use two.
Yeah, that's the average.
Spotify and Apple Music. So let us know. It would be nice to hear from you. And also let us know if you're using anything out of the big three or big four.
I think we mentioned pretty much all of it, but surprise us.
Yes, we would like to know something that we've never heard of before. But also if you have experience using Jukes, KKBox, and QQ Music, I really want to know what's on there. We've got a quick fire news roundup up next, but a song before that.
Yep, this one I think is pretty apt for the topic that we just spoke about, because My Bloody Valentine, legendary shoegaze band, is finally on streaming platforms. If I'm not mistaken, on Spotify, only the EP was available, but now finally their full discography is on streaming platforms after they signed with Domino Records. So here's an oldie but a goodie from the 1991 album Loveless, My Bloody Valentine, with Only Shallow on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.